Hi, thank you for tuning in to Faithful Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church. Today's sermon is brought to you by our very own Pastor Derek Thomas.
Well, this morning in the text that was read, just to give you a little background, it's speaking of someone being chosen, the chosen person to help build God's temple on this morning. And so I'm hoping that you'll realize that you're actually one of the chosen that's being called. As I was going through the text, it made me think about the telephone system that we have in place. You know, it was an intriguing invention. The telephone system, it started with the acoustic phone. I see some of you looking at me funny. If you ever watched The Little Rascals, you'll know what the acoustic phone is. It's the concept of one can or cup on one end, another can or cup on the other end, and it's combined with a string or wire. And the whole concept is that somebody speaks into one end and the sound waves travel on down to the other cup and the other person's able to hear. That's that was the acoustic phone, the very first phone there. But then as you got a little bit more technology in place, there came the telegraph. And with the telegraph, it broadened the range of the actual phone system. So now instead of just being able to call your neighbor, you're now able to call from city to city to city. Give you a little bit broader range. And then more technology advances came into play. And you had what was known as the candlestick phone. It was called that for its shape. The candlestick phone, some of you may not remember, just had the two prongs and you'd place the receiver on top of it and it just back up when you picked it up. That was the candlestick phone. Again, gave you a little bit broader range. Now all of a sudden, instead of city to city, you can call state to state. And then there was a big breakthrough with the rotary dial. I know you remember the rotary dial. You know, you spin that bad boy around and spin it on around again and take you about 10 minutes to make a call, but it was effective. It was effective and gave you even a broader range. Matter of fact, coast to coast range with the rotary phone. And then more advances just came and came and came. You had the push dial phone, and now, matter of fact, we don't push any buttons at all. If you want, you can just speak the number into your phone and it'll call anywhere in the world. But I'm thinking about that form of communication. And the funny thing is that God was communicating with his people all over the world before there was any form of electricity or any form of the phone in place. And then I thought about that concept as well. Sometimes we pay for a service to talk to people that just bring havoc in our lives. We pay for a service to talk to people that really don't have our best interest in mind. And the one that gives us free calling at all times, we barely call on his name. But I think that's why he's always calling out to us. So with that in mind, I'd like to speak to you from the title of Answering the Call. Answering the Call. The first point that I'd like to make in answering the call, you need to recognize that the king is calling your name. The king is calling your name. See, the funny thing about a name, the name is used as a point of recognition for somebody. It's an identifying factor. The name lets you know the person that you're talking to, so nobody's confused. Tira. Oh, Tira. See, she recognizes that I'm calling her name. It's an identifying factor, but sometimes there's multiple people with the same name. And so you may have to add an additional identifying factor on the end to let them know that you're the one that I'm referring to. A great example is my sister, my lovely sister. She was born in 1986. And her name is Ashley Lauren. Ashley Lauren. Well, in 1986, Ashley was the number two most popular name amongst girls. Lauren was the 14th most popular name amongst girls. So you can imagine the confusion when we're in the store at the park and we yell out, Ashley, and you get four or five different heads turning your way. Matter of fact, sometimes you get four or five different sets of parents turning your way wondering why you're calling their child. And so sometimes we have to add an identifying factor onto that. Ashley, the daughter of Lawrence and Brenda. Ashley, the sister of Derek. Ashley, the fast one running out there. Ashley, the yellow one. I call her the yellow one sometimes. She just has a natural glow. I can say that because she's my sister. But sometimes you have to add an identifying factor, and that's what Moses does in the text. If you would just travel there to verse 30 with me. It says, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Let's get a little bit deeper into that text so we really understand what's going on there. You see, first of all, Moses makes sure that everybody knows that it's the Lord that's calling his name. First of all, he wants them to be no confusion that it's a human that's appointing him to this position. He's been chosen by the Lord himself. Secondly, he's letting everybody know that there's no form of nepotism that's actually going on. Because if you know, Bezaliel is actually the grandson of Miriam. And for the Bible readers out there, you know that Miriam is the sister of Moses. So therefore, there's a blood lineage, and he wants no confusion. I'm not just trying to put my family into a place of position, but rather this is the Lord calling upon his name. But then he also goes on to give further descriptors, because there's more than one Bezaliel. And just a little side note, Bezaliel is in the shadow of God. See, B standing for the end, Zal standing for shadow, and then El, God. So just so you know the context of his name, in the shadow of God. That one's for free. You don't have to pay for that one right there. I just threw that one out there for you. Bezaliel. But as he's calling the name, he has some identifiers on. He said he's the son of Uri, the son of Hur. And yes, this is the same Hur that stood there with Aaron holding up Moses' hand in the battle against the Amalekites as they went on to victory from the tribe of Judah. He does that to let them know that's the Bezaliel that I want. And he's letting Bezaliel know that, hey, you're the one that needs to be paying attention as the Lord is calling your name. Yeah. It reminded me of an old spiritual that used to be sung. It would say, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. What will I do? What will I do? What will I do? And you see, that was a point of significance for the runaway slaves. You see, they would listen to that song, and it would let them know that the bounty hunter or the slave master was on their trail. He's somewhere lurking. And so they needed to heed to the call, because at this point in time, they would have three options that were available to them. One option, they can turn and go back to their old way of life as if nothing had ever happened. They could turn and run back to the same hell that they're trying to run from. They could put their hands up at that particular point in time and say, here I am, and submit to the bounty hunter or the slave master. Or they can continue on and take heed to the call and work on their way towards freedom. Well, right now, hush, hush, somebody's calling your name. You have three options that are available to you as God is calling on your name. You can turn and go back to the same hell that you've always been going through. You can toss your hands up and say, Satan, I submit to you. Or you can keep walking in your gracious victory onto peace within this earth. But don't get it confused, because it's not that you won't go through hell as you're walking with Christ, but you're walking so that you can have an eternal peace. You're walking so that you can have an eternal victory. So it's not just about the earthly possessions, but it's about living a righteous life down here. So once you make it to heaven, you have eternal riches. Trust me, you'd much rather God calling your name right now than you get up to the gates and he doesn't call your name at all. So right now, hush, hush, somebody's calling your name. But think about that concept as you're going through your daily life, because God is calling us all. As you're going through your struggles, he wants you to serve. The King is calling your name. As you're going through your trials, he wants you to teach somebody. The King is calling your name. As you're scouring through your sins, he wants you to sing to him. The King is calling your name. Let me apologize, because I thought I was talking to some biblical practitioners this morning and not just some sermon listeners. You got to stay with me. When you're going through your woes, he wants you to worship him to the utmost. The King is calling your name. As you're going through your pain in life, he wants you to praise his holy name. The King is calling your name. Hush, hush. Somebody is calling your name. What will you do? What will you do? What will you do? So as we're answering the call, make sure that we recognize that the King is calling your name. Second point I want to get to in answering the call.
We have it up.
Yes, yes. The Pontocrator will provide you with PED. The Pontocrator. See, I like this term as I was going through my studies. Pontocrator, it's nothing more than just another name from God. But what it comes from is, it comes from pantos, meaning all, and crater, meaning strength, powerful, or mighty. So Pontocrator is another word for the Almighty. So the Almighty will provide you with some PEDs. See, we're going to explain that in a moment, because I see some of you looking at me crazy. PEDs? Yeah, some PEDs. You see, because everybody's always looking for an edge in life. Everybody's always trying to look for a way to enhance their life. If you're in the business world, you're looking to see what you can do to close the next business deal. If you're in the entertainment field, you're looking for a way that you can get that next role. You're always looking for some type of enhancement. If you're an athlete, you're looking for a way to get bigger, stronger, and faster. You're always looking for a way to enhance your life. But the funny thing is that we go through this enhancement process, we often lose ourselves. For you see, the business person that's looking to close that deal, sometimes they'll burn the bridges with their own friends and family just to get that done. Looking for an enhancement in life. The entertainer, they'll sell their very soul or body just so they could get the next role, looking for a way to enhance their life. The professional athlete, he'll resort to performance-enhancing drugs just to find a way to enhance his life. Now, you're looking at me and saying, well, how does that relate to the text? Let me take you there so I can walk you through this thing. So let's look at verse 31, if you would. 31. And it says, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. I want to say that again. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. See, as you look into the text, he's pumped him up with some PEDs, but in this particular case, we don't have performance-enhancing drugs. What we have is performing enhancement divinity. See, there's a difference when you just do something on the normal level, and when you do something that exceeds the humanly expectations. And that's what God is placing into him right now when he's filling him with the Spirit. He's giving him some performance enhancement divinity at this particular point in time. And I see you looking like I don't see that throughout the text. Well, let me break it down to you a little bit further, because he's not only, again, giving him performance on the average level, but he's exceeding expectations. And some of the issues may be that we don't see us exceeding our own humanly expectations. Well, that's just because you haven't answered your call yet. See, he's filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. We haven't answered the call, so we're weak in mind. He's filled him with understanding. See, we haven't answered the call, so we're useless at this particular point in time. He's filled him with knowledge. See, we haven't answered the call, so we're thoughtless to our potential. But the thing is that it's inside of you. He's calling your name, but we were just refusing to answer the call. But then you're thinking to yourself, well, how can I be used? Why would he use little old me? Why would he use Derek? Why would he use me? Well, the thing is that God likes to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. Let me give you a couple of biblical folks that he's talked to, because I don't want you to get it twisted that this is my version. I always want to make sure that it's tying back to the biblical perspective. At one point in time, he took someone who was unconfident in his abilities. Matter of fact, he claimed he had a speech impediment. And he used him to speak to a hardened heart king to release a nation of his people into the promised land. You know him, he goes by the name of Moses. There was once a moment in time where he used a killer and persecutor of Christians. See, he used him to kill the sinful nature of sinners through sermon. He's known as the Apostle Paul. There was one that he used. He was a greedy, deceiving tax collector. He used him to collect the souls for the building of his kingdom. He's known as St. Matthew. The list goes on and on and on of those that he's used to help through this process. I mean, he's even gone to the point of using an adulterer who liked to spread his love around. But he used him to help build his holy temple because he had so much love for God himself. We know him as King David. So now you're still asking yourself, why would he use me? Well, let's go through the checklist. Let's see if we got some people that fit the criteria in this room right here. Do we have any killers in the house? Any killers? Oh, you thought I was just talking about physical killers. See, you can also be a hope or a dream killer. I know there's been somebody who said, you can't do that. You don't have the ability to do that. You're too old to do that. You're still a killer. Do we have any killers in the house? Do we have any adulterers in the house? Don't raise your hands. I don't want you to get in trouble. Don't want you to get in trouble, but if we were in school, this would be quiet reflection time. Do we have any adulterers in the house? And don't just think from the human perspective. It's not just a matter of cheating on your husband or your wife, because at some point in time, you put the money before God. You were an adulterer. At some point in time, you put your own wisdom before God. You were an adulterer. At some point in time, you put your own resources that you had before God. You were cheating on God. You were an adulterer. Do we have any adulterers in the house? We got the killers. We got the adulterers. There's probably still somebody in here saying, well, I don't fit into any of those categories. Okay, let's hit you with this one right here. Do we have any greedy deceivers in the house? Basically, are you a liar? And if you said no to the question, that automatically makes you a liar. So we just matched everybody within the room. So certainly, if he can use them, why won't he do the same thing for you? So again, he'll give you all that you need. He will definitely provide for you. He filled him with performance-enhancing divinity. Third and finally, as Pastor would say, lest I hold you too long, God gives perplexing power. God gives perplexing power. If you would, travel with me to verse 35. Verse 35 says, then hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. God gives perplexing power. As we look at the text there, you really have to understand the time of the day. Because he's given him the ability to engrave, to embroider, and he's also given him the ability to weave. Back at this time, there was what was called an apprenticeship. It's the same concept that we have nowadays of going to college. Now, he states that he did it cunningly. That means that he was wise. He was skillful in what he did. He didn't have step. You got the best of the best once Bezaliel put his hands on it. So really understand this concept that the apprenticeship is much like the college, where in order to be considered skillful, you have to go through 3 to 6 years of training, a perplexing power. God put the Holy Spirit on him, and he gained the skills of 3 crafts in no time at all. He had no problems performing his task. And matter of fact, he did it so much that he did it skillfully, practically flawlessly. I want you to think about that concept. I see some of you still haven't grasped it yet. Let me give you a real-world example of placing the Holy Spirit on something and it giving perplexing power. Every now and then, when my stomach is upset, I might take a little Alka-Seltzer. Alka-Seltzer used to have a jingle. It said, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Let's say that together. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Amen, amen, amen. So now as you put the Alka-Seltzer into the body of water, there would also be like a volcanic reaction that took place within that glass of water. There was an instant change that would take place in that water. I still see some of you looking like I don't understand. I don't get what's actually taking place right now. Well let me put it plain for you. You see, sometimes you have a body of water and God just plop, plop, fizz, fizz, a little Holy Spirit onto you, and then a almost a volcanic reaction, an instant change begins to take place within your life. You have some unsettling that's going on within your life, but he places the Holy Spirit inside of you to ease and calm things down, because the glass of water wasn't going to do it alone. You see, it needed a little performance-enhancing divinity to get the reaction that it needed to help calm the situation. Is anybody in here dealing with an unjust, unsettled mind right now? You need a little plop, plop, fizz, fizz of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody in here dealing with an unsettled or an unjust circumstance right now? You need a little plop, plop, fizz, fizz happening in your life. Somebody dealing with some unjust resources right now. You need a little plop, plop, fizz, fizz in your life right now. Oh, what a relief God is. I hope that cleared things up for you and the concept of giving perplexing power. You see, perplexing is that means that's out of the box. That's out of the ordinary. How does that happen? You know, when doors are closed and all of a sudden they start to open? When you have turmoil going on in your life and all of a sudden you become triumphant? You get a little disappointment, and all of a sudden it turns to victory. That's that perplexing power that's taking place within your life. I'm going to leave you with this, and then I'm going to take my seat. You know, here in America, when we answer the phone, we say hello. Over in Germany, they answer with just their last name. Over in Denmark, they can give you their first and last name when they answer the phone. The Chinese, they say speak. The French will say hello, but then they ask, who is it? They want to know who they're talking to on the other end of the line. But just as there are multiple ways to answer the phone across the world, there's also multiple ways to answer God's call. And he's calling upon each and every one of us right now. But we have to make sure that we answer the call. Even in the biblical text, there were many ways that people answered the call. See, when he went to Moses, Moses said, who am I? When he went to Gideon, he said, I'm the least of my father's house. When he went to Zechariah, he said, how shall I know this? When he went to Isaiah, he said, here I am, send me. Yeah. So I ask you on this morning, do you realize that God is calling your name? How will you answer the call? Will you answer the call? Will you step up to the responsibility that God is willing to place into your life right now? It doesn't matter how you answer the call. God just wants you to answer the call. The doors of the church are open.